This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Yankiv Avinu sends shluchim, messengers, to Esav, his brother, with a specific message. Vayitzav Esav leimer. This is the way he commanded them, he instructed them to tell Esav. Ki'amar avdecha Yaakov. In Lavan Garti Voechar Ad Oto. I live with Lavan and I stayed there. I spent my time over there. And Vahili Shar Vachamar, Tzayvev Vishivcha, Vashtacha Lahagila Adoni Limtzeichem Beinecha. Why is it relevant to Esav that Yaakov is in the house of Lavan? In Lavan Garti, so what? Yiddish, you have an expression, "Agishevtater." What's it? How does it concern Esav, at the least, that he's coming from the house of Lavan? So Rashi explains, "In Lavan Garti, Garti begematria Taryag," famous Chazal. The Garti Taryag. He was telling him, "I kept the Taryag mitzvahs." Im lavan arasha garti, betayak mitzvah shamarti, v'loi lamadati mimais of aroyim. I didn't learn from his bad ways. L'chayra, it's a redundant statement. If you say im lavan garti, tayak mitzvah shamarti, so then of course it means loi lamadati mimais of aroyim. What's the avada in Lavan Garti? V'tayag mitzvahs shamarti. I kept the mitzvahs, and therefore you should be afraid of me, or whatnot, whatever the reason, whatever the cheshbon is in the tayag mitzvahs shamarti. But you don't have to repeat v'loi lamadati mimais of haroyim. Why does he have to emphasize that? Obviously that's what he means to say, and it's pretty self understanding from the words Tayag Mitzvis Shamarti. So there's a teretz that's brought down in a Svarim. I think Rav Rudiman Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Baltimore Rosh Hashiva, said a shmuz on this topic with the following pshat. We all know Kedoshim Tiyu. The pasuk tells us that we should be Kedoshim. The Ramban explains that what is the chidush, the command of Kedoshim Tiyu, Shaloi Tiyu, Novel B'Shus HaTeira. A person technically could keep all the mitzvahs, yet be a novel. He can find loopholes in the halacha to behave almost like a novel, a gangster. Shleitia novel b'shus ha'tayr. Kedosha means you have to elevate yourself. It's not enough just to keep the letter of the law, but it has to be with the letter of the law and the kiyum ha-mitzvahs. A person should live a life of spirituality, kedusha. Not I keep the mitzvahs and I'm a novel. So maybe that's what Yaakov Avinu is saying. Tayag mitzvah shamarti. V'loi lamadati, I didn't learn mimais of haroyim. Lavan was a novel. Lavan was a person who was a gangster. He was a novel, a lowlife. It's interesting, Lavan, novel, very much the same letters. Lamed beis nun. Nun beis lamed is novel. Lavan, novel, le'lamadati mimais of harayim. I would like to say another pshat over years of seeing, experiencing, taking in life, situations. I started to see that there is such a phenomena that a person could keep the mitzvahs, and because he keeps the mitzvahs, he could be a novel. Because he keeps the mitzvahs, he's doing ma'isim ra'yim. You know, mitzvahs have to be kept in a way where it's drachecha darchinaya. Tosis tells us that a nida doesn't fall to yibum, doesn't fall. How do we know this? So Tosis says, because at the time she's a nida, you can't be with her. Then let her fall later on. That's already impossible because that's against the klal of drachecha. The Torah is ways of sweetness. It's Torah is pleasant. Derechecha darchinoyam. So Tosis understood without a makor. There's no Gemara, there's no Risha, there's no text, there's no Chazal that's teaching us this Yisoid, that Derechecha darchinoyam is a ptur in Hilchas Yibum. Yet Tosis understood it must be that way. It must be that when the Torah says to fall to Yibum, it has to fall under the guidelines of Derechecha Darchinoyam. An open Tosis. You know, Shmiras HaMitzvah sometimes pushes a person to behave in manners which are not Derechecha Darchinoyam. So maybe Rashi is saying, Tayag mitzvah shamarti. Sometimes a person can keep the mitzvahs by hurting other people. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. No, v'loy lamadati mimais of haroyim, in the way I kept the mitzvahs. The first pshat we're saying is that there could be two things. A person could keep all the mitzvahs, yet live a lifestyle which is novel. A lifestyle which is p'chisus. And the Torah wants that you should have both the kiyum of the mitzvahs and kedoshim tiyu. And so Yaakov is saying two things. I kept the mitzvahs, and I also was le'lamati mimais of haroyim kedoshim tiyu. But the way I understand pshat maybe is I kept the shmira of the mitzvahs in a way that it was Laila Mati Mimais of Aroyim with bad midas. Sometimes a person keeps mitzvahs in a way that there's bad midas involved. And sometimes it's even worse. It's the fact that he has these bad midas that he hides himself in the Kiyum and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. This becomes his past to do what he does. Yeah, man, I have to do this. It's a mitzvah. Without realizing that the Shoyrish, the source of your Shmiras HaMitzvahs, is actually bad midas. It's Ma'isim Royim. Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. I'm exposed to Lavan. Lavan also thinks he's doing everything right. Lavan's convinced. He's right. Yeah, but is he really right? It's a gangster. It's bad midas. Yeah, but I'm right. So he was behaving malicious, evil, ra to Yaakov Avinu, believing that Zayd Afmanton, this is the way we have to do it. And that could rub off, says Yaakov. It could have rubbed off on me. No, it didn't. Tayag mitzvah shamarti. In a way, but I was loy lamati, my midas were intact. Give me an example, Rabbi Yisai. Shalom Shvadran, say Chatzadik Levrocha, used to have a shmuyas. The shmuyas was, Ani Raiti, I saw Haman read Parsha Zacha. He saw, he says, I saw it. I saw Haman reading Parsha Zacha. How did you see Haman reading Parsha Zacha? He says he was once in a shul, and the Baal Tekaira didn't show up, and it was Parsha Zacha, it was the week that we read Parsha Zacha. He didn't show up, some kind of something happened. an onus, some kind of onus happened, and he didn't show up. So there was a kid, bachur, a bar mitzvah bachur. He says, you know what, I think I could get through the parasha, I'll be able to do it. So he got up there, and with difficulty, it wasn't easy, you know, he wasn't prepared. He got through the parasha with a little help from the people on the side, he did it. Then it came to Parsha Zachar, so he wanted to read Parsha Zachar. This is a very interesting halachic question. Could a bar mitzvah boy be moitzi mitzvahs deraisa when you need the mitzvah deraisa? Why? We don't really know if he's a gavur. We don't know. Why? You're right, his years, he's 13. But he doesn't have simanim. How do you know if he has the signs, the two hairs, the signs that he's a gadol? So there's something called chazaka. We take on, he probably has it. Chazaka works maybe for drabanan. Who says it works when you need a mitzvah deraisa? You'll need a gadol. For the mitzvah deraisa, it's not so simple that you could just say, well, he's probably a gadol. How do you know? Who said? So there's a Rebbe Akiva Eiger that says that we do not rely on Chazaka Derabba, it's called. Chazaka Derabba, we don't rely on it where it's a deraisa, where the moitzi, he's being moitzi you in a mitzvah deraisa. Zachar is deraisa, right? Kriza Teru all year is Derabbanan. So that's fine, you could have a kid, a bar mitzvah boy, as soon as he gets bar mitzvah, he can read the parsha. But parsha Zachar, deraisa. So there was somebody in the shul that made a whole tararam, Yiddish they call it a tararam, a whole tumult. How could we have this bocher read Parsha Zachar? How do we know he's a gadol? How do we know he's a gadol? The people in the shul told this fellow, listen, don't make such a tumult. The kid was nice enough to lay for us. You're going to be embarrassing him if you tell him to go down, because he's not a gadol, because he's a child. Leave it alone. Let him read. People in the shul didn't know this from Kiveger. To them it wasn't an issue. But they were sensitive to reality of what's in front of them. The kid is going to be told that he's not a gadol and he shouldn't read. It'd be embarrassing him. It's going to hurt him. This fella made a whole thing. No. So they raised her. Huh? What did he do? He ran up to the bima, pushed the kid away out to the side, and he read it himself. Says Reb Shalom, Ani ra'iti es homon kere pashas. I saw homon read pashas. I saw it.
Amalek.
I see Amalek reading pashas. It's a beautiful story, Rabbi. It's so much chachma and das teira. You know, people could misbehave and hurt others over even a minute. A custom. This is a teraisa. And what does Reb Shalom look at it? Reb Shalom is telling us he's hum on this guy. Could you imagine how many people do this when it comes to a minute? Custom. It's a beautiful story from the Friedrich Square Rebbe, the father of the Square Rebbe that we know of today. He was a Rav in a shul before Square Town. Square Town is after him. He was a Rav in a shul. Skvera Besmedrish. How many people davened there? Probably not too many. A chazan came for a visit as a simcha. There was a simcha in the shul. So usually the Rebbe benches Rish Chodesh. Rish Chodesh, Berchus HaChodesh, the Rebbe does it. But this was a chazan, a guest. They told the Rebbe said he should do it. He should get up and read and give the Birchas HaChodesh bench. Ashkenaz has a minig to be say the Moilut. Moilut means we announce when the new moon is going to be born. When do we do it? Before we say before they say what day it is. Rosh Chodesh will be so and so, right? So before we do that, the Gabbai announces the Moilut is so-and-so. In Skver, they had a different custom. Instead of doing it before, they would do it after. either after the saying which day is Rish Chodesh or after Yichatsheyu, at the end of the Birchas HaChodesh, they would announce the Moilid is. The Chazan didn't know this, so the Chazan got up, and before he started saying when the day of Rish Chodesh is, he waited. And he's looking and he's trying to figure out how come the Gabbai isn't announcing when the Moilid is. The Gabbai catches what's going on, so he looks at the Rebbe, what should I do? You know, and our custom in Skver is to do it afterwards. The Chazan, not knowing this, is waiting, and he's trying to understand why we're not saying it. So the Rebbe said, say. The Rebbe waved his hand, you say the Moilid right now. They said the Moilid, the Chazan continued, like they do in every other Beis Medrash all over the world. Okay. The Gabbai comes over to the Rebbe after davening, and he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. It's our Beis Medrash. It's Skver. Why does he have the right, so to speak, to change our minig? This is our minig. This is our custom. We should stand firm on our customs. He didn't know. Fine, so we'll tell him afterwards. By the way, we do it like this, and that's all. Skver Rebbe answered something which was so much limud, so much lesson to be taken from it. He says, you're right, that's the minig in Skver to announce the Moilid. The way we announce the Moilid, after. That's right, it is our minig. But the problem was here, in this case, it was conflicting with a different minig. What minig was it conflicting with? He says, I have an interesting minig that I don't hurt people. I'm not mevaza people, but rabbim, you know. V'hafta l'recha kamaych is also minig by me, you know. I have such a custom. So it was a question of this minig of after l'recha kamaych or this minig of announcing when the Moilid is, and I decided, you know what, the minig of after l'recha kamaych is more important. And so I told you to say it before. The Rebbe's wisdom, he has a minig, he has a custom. He's trying to say, you don't see the difference. You're minig or hurting another Jew. To you, it's all the same thing. It's insulting someone, embarrassing someone. It's all the same thing to you. He said, I have a funny minig. He says, a funny minig. A unique minig he has. That he does not embarrass people in public. After a kamaych, it's a minig by him. He has such a custom. This custom overrides this custom. Abaisai, shmiras ha-mitzvahs needs to be viewed. It needs to be weighed through the scope of Leilamati Mimaisa Varoyim. It shouldn't be that the Maisim Royim dictate us the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. I'll tell you a beautiful story. I saw it, it's brought in the Sefer Halacha of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's in the Halicha Shlomo. That there was someone who came to ask him a question on Hilchas Bedikas Chametz. The question, Reb Shlomo Zalman answered him, and he told him whatever the halacha is, and then he tells him instructions. I want you, that when you make Bedikas Chametz, I want you to do it very quickly. I want you to go and get it over with, 1, 2, 3. Don't spend any time on Bedikas Chametz. The guy's looking, why? Because Chametz is a mitzvah, and I have to sit and go through all the corners. So Reb Shlomo Zalman told him, you're a yassim. Your father passed away recently. When you do Bedikas Chametz in your house, your mother is going to remind herself constantly, oh, my husband, your father, he went there, he did it like that. Oh, that's, yeah, I remember last year, that's how he did the Bedikas Chametz. To hurt down money, your mother, it's not worth it. Make Bedikas Chametz quickly, and that's all. A bicycle, a gadol. See? Weighs things through Drachah, Drachinoyam. The guy didn't even chop it. It didn't even dawn on him, such a topic. But that was to Reb Shlomo Zalman. To Reb Shlomo Zalman. That was on his mind. That was the first thing that he thought about when this guy came to ask him a shayla. Everything he saw through the prism, through the glasses of Drachah Darchinayim. And this is what I think is the pshat. Tayag mitzvah shamarti. Tayag mitzvah shamarti. You know, it's interesting that Yaakov Avinu gives so much respect to Esav. The whole parsha, mamish, the bowing and the loving and the kissing and the unbelievable sasar, kirayis pnei Elokim, your mamish like hafayis ifayis, unbelievable kavod, right? I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Esav was a rosh merusha. Esav was a gangster, top of the line gangster. Couldn't get a bigger gangster than Esav. To his brother, not much of a great brother, wanted to kill him. He said clearly, "I'm waiting for my father to die, and I will kill him." So why is he bowing to him and respecting him and being so subordinate to him? So the Pashup shot is that this is not only Esav, but this is Esav in the future. This is a lesson of Bechlal, Klal Yisrael, and how they deal with the outside world of Esav, how they deal with the Goyim. And so we learn, Taka, many things on how we're supposed to behave, ba'anova, humble, subordinate. You're not supposed to go and try to win, so to speak, against Esav. You have to go ba'achna, you have to go humble. And therefore we find that Yaakov Avinu humbles himself to Esav. And you look at the Ramban already says that this whole parasha should be learnt in the context that this is for future as well. This is a textbook lesson of what it's going to be in the future, how Klal Yisrael will have Seir Esav, the Malchei Esav, the nations that come from Esav, how to deal with them. Ramban, he says, as a matter of fact, that when Tanoim would go to deal with Rome, they would first read Parshas Vayishlach, to take lessons. Ramban in the beginning of the parasha, to take lessons. So the fact that Yaakov bows to Esav shouldn't be looked at Yaakov at that time to Esav at that time. It's Yaakov is teaching us Bechlal Esav. You think the fight of Yaakov and Esav was just then? It's eternal. It's about ruchniistic things. It's about Yetzer Hara against Yetzer Tov. And therefore, it's not a question of simple Yaakov being so subordinate to Esav. What's the pshat? That's a simple way of looking at things. I saw Reb Shamshon Fol Hirsch, Zecheinu Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says that there's a reason why Yaakov Avinu is very subordinate to Esav, while yet we see to Lavan he was not so much. When Lavan runs after him, he shows Lavan gives him the hand, goodbye. You know, I'm not so. Why to Lavan, says Reb Shamshon Fol Hirsch, did he not show this hachna? But to Esav, he goes out of his way to find favor by Esav. Answers Reb Shamshon for something unique, something very, takes a lot of hashkafa from an Ish Emes to write a thing like this. Lavan started off with Yaakov for no reason. It's a kechepet fagarnish. There's nothing. There was nothing there that should have caused Lavan to behave like that to Yaakov. But to Esav, Yaakov always felt a little bit guilty. That maybe he took the brachas from him. He was the older brother. So that emes of Yaakov, it's a beautiful word, the emes of Yaakov, to know that maybe Esav has a point. You know, whenever we have a machlaikis with people, did we ever stop and think for 1 second, maybe he has a point? Even if you're 99% right, is it possible that the other person is coming from somewhere? Something's bothering him. There's something that I did that caused this. No, I'm 100% right. And therefore, Yaakov's emes forced him to say, you know, I have to treat Esav b'achna, b'kavod. I got to appease him because at the end of the day, I had something to do with the fact that Esav hates me. I had something to do with it. We find that later on in the times of Mordechai, Mordechai at Tzadik, when he finds out the Gzeira, that Haman was trying to destroy all the Jews, Vayetze, El Rechoy Vair, Vayizak, Zoko, Gdeilu Mora. Chazal tell us, that it's the exact same words that it says that Esav reacted when he lost the brachas from his father Yitzhak, that Yaakov took it away. Vayizak, Zoko, Gdeilu, says the Gemara Megillah, that this is parallel to this, a tikkun. For the fact that he caused Esav, Vayizak, Zoko, Gdeilu, Mora. We've already spoken many times in the past year, but Yaakov was right. Yes, it's true that Yaakov did it al pi his mother's tzivui. Yes, it's true that Yaakov heard it b'tayris nevuah. Shema b'kayli, Rivka said, listen to my voice, Kayl, as Chazal say, it's nevuah racha kaydish. So what did Yaakov do wrong? He listened. You think Yaakov wanted to do it? We spoke about it many times that Yaakov actually was so hesitant. And he even tells his mother, I don't want to do it. What happens if my father curses me, doesn't bench me? We spoke about this many times, that he went koifa, bikfiya. He was forced, almost like you take a person by gun and push him to do something. And it's the Eibish who told him to do it. Koil, Ruach HaKadosh, it's his mother. Kibbut Ava'ein. And yet, Vayizak, Zaka, Gedailu, Mara, there was payment. There was payback for this. Payback. What's the pshat? So we spoke many times that even when you're 100% right, when you're 100% right, lamaisa, when you hurt somebody, you need a tikkun. You need a tikkun. Even if you're 100% right, lamaisa, you cause someone pain, somewhere this is going to need tikkun. So the Vayizak Zaku Gedailo Mara that happened through Yaakov Avinu, even though it was 100% right, needed tikkun years later in the time of Mordechai and Esther, by Yizak, Zalka, Gedoilu, Mara. With the words of Reb Shamsher Folhurs, maybe we could say 100% right doesn't always mean 100% right. It can mean 99.9% right. And if there's 1%, but the fact is, you caused somebody, it's through you. That itself already means a quarter of a percent, a fraction of a percent. You need tikkun. A fraction of a percent, the other person has something, has a claim. It's never black and white. We like to look at things black and white. I'm right, he's wrong. How about if you're right and he has something that he's right about? Or even maybe the way we're learning over here, you're 100% right, minus a fraction. Toiras Emes, Titein Emes LeYaakov, teaches us in this parasha, address that point, and therefore find favor in the eyes of the other person. Try to appease him. Try to appease him. Lim Tzei Chein. Lavan, he's not trying to find Chein. And you know why? Lavan, he was 100 plus a fraction and one right. He wasn't 99.9.9% right. He was 100.9.99% right. There was no question. He did nothing to bring on Lavan's vicious behavior towards him. And so, he doesn't find the need to appease Lavan. Esav, there's a fraction of a taina there. There's something there. And so, he finds the need. Limtzei chein, be'enei adoini. I would say Rabbi Isaiah, a third pshat. Esav, fart abruta. Fart, still lamais, it's his brother. Lavan, okay. Lavan's a shver. He's only a shver. Let's use those words. He's only his father-in-law. Only. But Esav. Ochi. And that's why there's so much emphasis in the parasha. Ochi. My brother. At the end of the day, no matter what he did to me, no matter what he's planning to do to me, no matter who he is or not, or who he's not, he is still still achi. And so, limtzechein, I have to find a way on how to respect him. I have to find a way on how to appease him. Because he is my brother, my older brother. L'maisa, he's my brother. At the end of the day, he's my brother. And with this hanhagim, you see Yaakov found a way into Esav's heart. You know, we have times where brothers fight terribly. If one brother would turn to the other and say, listen, you're my brother, and to try to find a way into that other brother's heart, it will work. Can't be worse than Esav. I know any Jew who's considered worse than Esav. And so, if to Esav this is the hanhaga that Yaakov has, that we, the children of Bnei Yisrael, should definitely have amongst our own brothers, real brothers, or even not mamish brothers, but chaverim brothers, how much we should try to find chen, to find, to respect, and taka with this to penetrate. That's the way to penetrate to the hardest of hearts, to the most difficult of most difficult of people. Limtze chen. So it's not a question anymore, why does Yaakov do all this to Esav? And the answer is, Poshit, Achi, 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 he's my brother, Achi, L'maisa, he's my brother. And I'll prove this to you, that I believe that this is the real pshat in the parish of the Pshutai. The other terutzim are Taka Emes, but this is the Pshutai, the Poshit pshat. At the end of the day, Abruda is Abruda. I'll show you where I got this from, where I feel it's muchach, raya brura. Dina, matetze Dina. Yaakov suffered terribly with Dina. Suffered terribly with Dina. Why did Yaakov suffer with Dina? So Chazal already say, it was a payment, a punishment, for taking Dina, locking into a box, away from Esav, that Esav shouldn't marry her. And the Mefarshim all ask, what were the choices? What, he should have let Esav take Dina. I mean, which father would allow this, or should allow this? And if he would allow it, he'd be a reitzach, he'd be a murderer. If Yaakov would let his daughter fall into the hands of Esav, he'd be a murderer. Chazal used the lashon that if someone takes a girl, his daughter, and gives it to an Amoritz. Forget Esav. And I'm some an Amoritz. Kilu koftlif ne'ari. It's like putting in front of a lion. Yeah. Imagine putting in front of a Rosh Merusha like Esav. A Rosh Merusha like Esav. Tell me, Leah didn't daven not to fall in the hands of Esav. And she was considered a praiseworthy woman for this. The Eibishter saw what kind of a tzaddikah she is. Maybe she could change Esav. The same cheshbon. Just like Dina, her daughter, there was a taina, could save Esav here too. Save Esav, go, we'll go get married to Esav. We've spoken about this many years, many times over the years. What's the taina, the complaint against Yaakov Avinu? What was he supposed to do? What did he do wrong? Any normal father would do this and should do this. So where is the complaint? And to have such an einish. You know what it is that Dina should go and be raped by a manuvel? She conceived from this guy. It's clear in Chazal she conceived from this guy. You know that the Rechmanis, V'chein lo yasab Yisrael, when the brothers heard this, they couldn't even believe it was such a catastrophic story. The worst. You see the reaction of the brothers. V'chein lo yasab Yisrael, and this was all a punishment to Yaakov Avinu for what? For what? Bali Musar speaking great length, the Noal, that extra locking of the door. He locked the box. He put her in a box and he locked the box. You have to lock the box. Lock the box. Shot locking the box. The answer is there was a certain inner. Yeah, he'll never get my daughter. Yeah, he'll never get her. You didn't have to go that way.
These days, this child is.
Shh. You didn't have to go there. You didn't have to. No. Put her away. Hide her. He doesn't know she exists, and that's all. Why do you have to be Vinal? It's Musar more than it is Pshat. Because I would tell you, it was my daughter, I put 10 locks, right? I wouldn't lock her, I would lock her, and I would throw away the key. That's what I would do. Because if not, Esav could always get there. Esav could find a way on how he could, believe me, picking locks was from the least gangsterish zachen that Esav did. Okay, so Ibazoi, what did he do wrong? What? And the Teretz Rabbosai is pashit. Avshach zeichat tzadik v'kadosh levrocher shiva zatzal says pshat nechazal. At the end of the day, what he did was right, but at no point did it ever enter thinking, what would be if I would give it to her and he would change? Yes, the decision definitely was the right decision. But nothing went into the decision process. It's my brother and I got to do something for him. Think about it.
As a father, can I change?
The decision should have been a difficult one. The decision should have been based on, let's see it from all sides. And one of those sides should have been, he is my brother. And I think that's what Rosh Yeshiva meant. An ach is an ach is an ach is an ach. And the ach angle never entered the decision process. The thought process on the decision, we don't find anywhere that he made a shekel back and forth. It's my brother, maybe I should, but no, I can't. It was so poshid, it was so definite, there was no questions asked, which means deep down, there was never concern. Maybe I can help my brother. Maybe. Otherwise, there's no explanation. There is no other way to, so to speak, tackle this chazal. What are chazal saying? Who would give his daughter? And the Teretz says, Avadi, you can't give the daughter. But in the discussion, in the thought process that came to this conclusion, there was never an angle, it's my brother, what do I do? Should have thought for one second, and if my brother would marry and she would get better, I can't do it. Think? That itself, says Rosh Yeshiva, was the taina. And what he means to say is everything we've spoken. At the end of the day, if the cheshbon, it's my brother, doesn't come into a cheshbon, there's something wrong. The question is, but such an einish, it's a very, 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 very severe einish for such a, what would seem a minute issue of not thinking and not, if, first of all, it would be a tremendous einish even if he did something wrong. But Kalski, the way we're learning, he didn't do anything wrong. It was right to what he did. But it lacked the sensitivity for a brother. That's enough to have the story of Dina. I'll tell you what I think the Pasha Pshat is. Vateitze Dina, Chazal say that it was her fault. It was actually her fault. She went out, she did something wrong. She was a Yatziyanis. The truth is, we know from Chazal that there's no such thing as an Einish for a person when it affects all the people around them unless they also deserved it. It can't be that someone gets an Einish and because of that Einish, the relatives around are suffering when they don't deserve it. That's a Mefurish of Chazal. So Chazal here are trying to identify, why would Yaakov deserve such a thing? And the answer is this story of Shechem. Mida keneged mida. What's the mida keneged mida? Since you don't want your daughter to get married to Esav, your brother, you know what? I'll find her a different shidduch. Shechem. So the mida keneged mida is you don't want your brother? Okay. We'll give you somebody called what? Worse than your brother. Right? Even a bigger novel than you, if it's possible, such a thing, Shechem. But I would say Rabbi said different to her. I was thinking about it a lot over the years. It's interesting that Shechem did what he did, right? Shechem did what he did. And Mida Keneged, Mida for what Yaakov locked her in the box, is the story of Shechem. I would say maybe it's not directly Shechem taking her, but the entire scenario of what happened was Mida Keneged Mida, and I'll explain it to you. You know, Mida Keneged Mida works that the Eibishter does exact, because he's just. If you do A wrong, then B, A is the Einish, not B. It has to be exactly according to the Chet. But then there's another Cheshbin, not only because the Eibishter is Yashar, but because the Eibishter wants you to learn a lesson. The Mida Keneged Mida is there, that when I see this Einish, I could trace it back to the Chet, so I learn a lesson. By Goyim, right? It's not about teaching them a lesson. By Goyim, it's about the Einish. By Goyim, it's about the Einish. And since it's about the Einish, so sometimes Rabbeinu Shalom could give big Einishim. Even though from Rashi and Yisra, Yismashma, Ati Adati, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is great, that he did it, Mida Keneged Mida, he drowned them because they drowned the Bnei Yisrael. We could discuss a different time that Rashi. But the point is, Mida Keneged Mida normally is, the Rabbeinu Shalom is just and gives the punishment according to the Chet. But by Klal Yisrael, there's another Inyan in Mida Keneged Mida. And that is to take a lesson to teach the person what went wrong. You know, by Shechem, the Mesiras Nefesh of the brothers, Shimon the Levi, over their sister. Shimon the Levi put themselves in Sakon, in danger. Mesiras Nefesh, for the sake of his sister. She didn't want to leave, so what does Shimon? Shimon promises her, I'll marry you. Knowing that she has a baby from Shechem. It says clearly, L'kachnu es b'nei Seinu. Says the B'nei Yisachar, B'nei Seinu is going on the daughter that's coming from Dina. How is it B'nei Seinu? What B'nei Seinu means? The child. We're going to take Leah with the child. We're taking her back. And she doesn't want to go, and Shimon says, I'll marry you. That's called Mesiras Nefesh for a brother. Mida Keneged Mida, Yaakov Avinu. You showed lack of Mesiras Nefesh in your decision process. In hiding Dina, Mida Keneged Mida. I'm going to show you how Shimon Velevi, what it means to do for a brother or sister. The actual tragedy, so to speak, of Shechem was Dina. She was government with her anhaga. The Mida Keneged Mida, how does it relate back to Yaakov somehow? It has to be that Yaakov was affected. And the answer is, Shimon V'Levi, I'm going to show you what it means, Achva. I'm going to show you what it means to do for a brother. This, Rabbeisai, is the lesson. If Esav, becomes a brother, so to speak, that we have to be careful not to hurt, how much more for sure so? How much more for sure so, real brothers? And how much more for sure so, friends in the shul? They're also brothers. They're not Esav. How many times do we do mitzvahs al cheshbon acherim, not taking others into consideration? The lesson is not only we can't do anything to hurt. That's a lesson from the beginning of the parasha. But the lesson of Dina is even more, that Yaakov Avinu didn't take in consideration that he might be able to help his brother, and he's not doing that. And that's already also no good. Some would say he did the biggest mitzvah. He was doing the biggest mitzvah. He was putting away Dina. He was protecting his daughter. He was a tremendous father. They would call it chinuchgar. They would call it shmira. He's protecting his daughter from the outside world. Chazal are telling us, some point in that, lacked sensitivity, maybe you could have helped another person. And that's Esav and a daughter. Imagine when it's not Esav and it's not a daughter. It's about anything else that we do in life that we quote unquote think is a big mitzvah. If it's al cheshbon acherim, it becomes a tremendous thing. It's interesting. Chana Penina. Penina lost all her children. Lost all her children. She used to go and check a Chana and tell her, ah, take a look, I get more food than you, my husband. Chazal asked, why would she do that? She got marshas. Says Chazal, L'shem Shemayim Niskavna. Her intentions were L'shem Shemayim. So if her intentions were L'shem Shemayim, so why did she get such a severe einish? Such a severe einish that she should lose all her children. Boy, so it's a chapella. So there's a very famous verse from the Kotzker, L'shem Shemayim. How do Chazal know it was L'shem Shemayim? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, because such a rishus, such an evil thing to hurt a woman who doesn't have children, can only be done if you're convinced you're doing it L'shem Shemayim. If a person is not convinced he's doing L'shem Shemayim, there is no way that he could have done a thing like this. L'shem Shemayim, Rabbi Yisai, is a very, very loaded gun. It's a loaded gun, if I could use those words. If it's shot properly, used properly to help people, then the shooting is hatzala. If you shoot and it's wrong, you're hurting. You're shooting a gun out of context, doesn't belong. Innocent, whatever the cases may be, that gun is ritzicha. L'shem Shemayim could be Hatzalah and it could be Ritzicha. You got to be very careful. Hatzalah or Ritzicha. You know, it's interesting. We find in the Parsha, oh, so let's get back to Penina one second. So you see from Penina, pelvic thing, the dakus of meaning L'shem Shemayim, but it was misplaced. Something was wrong with that L'shem Shemayim, or it was takanat l'halacha, that even though it was l'shem shemayim, she still shouldn't have done it. That l'shem shemayim becomes evil. That l'shem shemayim becomes rishus. That l'shem shemayim becomes ritzicha. And when you're etzeach and akara, the results was penina chas v'shalom, unfortunately. Unfortunately. You see, Rabbi Yisai, Penina was a tzaddikus, no question. Chazal never said she was a bad person. And what she did was l'shem shemayim, and yet the einish she got was as if she'd be a murderer. The einish she got was as if she was a murderer. L'shem shemayim is a loaded gun. When used properly, in the right context, then it's hatzalah, you're saving, you're protecting the world, you're protecting people. When it's misused, when you fire quickly, when you fire with the sling of the shot, so to speak, without proper understanding of the situation, then you can be convicted for murder. That is the danger. L'shem Shemayim, and just like every gun has protection, it has a protection that it shouldn't shoot it off wrongly or quickly or in the wrong context. Everyone, Shem Shemayim, needs this same thing. And like Yaakov says, in Lo Avangarti, V'tayak mitzvah shamarti, that's in the context of L'lamati Mimayis of Aroyim. You've got to be careful that the Kiyum HaMitzvahs, the L'shem Shemayim, must be L'lamati Mimayis of Aroyim, not in the wrong place or the wrong time misplaced. You know, you look at the Yerushalmi, has a different girsa that we have in the Haggadah. We have in the Haggadah Echad Chacha, the Echad Rasha. What's the opposite of a Rasha, Rabbi Yisai? Tzadik. The Yerushalmi has that girsa in the Haggadah. The way the Yerushalmi brings its Echad Tzadik, the Echad Rasha. It's the opposites. We don't have that. Why? Why do we have Chacham and Tzadik? Chacham and Rasha. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, familiar with the Gevurot. Tzadik could be a dangerous thing, Rabbi Yisai. Because if it's misplaced at the wrong time, it's a rishus. It could be the most... The expression Rabbi Yeruchim used to say is that Tzadik mitzayin tzidkis could do much worse than the Rosh with his rishus. Sure. Avada. How many times could a person hurt another person, l'shem shamayim, thinking he's really doing Hashem's work? Thinks he's right. I know you all bad machloikus and are rooted and I'm right.
Tzadik.
You know, there's a very famous joke that the Velt says. The Mishnah says, "Kol machloikus shehi l'shem shamayim, seifel l'skayim." The end is will always remain. It'll always be around. And any machloikus which is not l'shem shamayim will not last. It will peter away. So the Velt says a sharp vert. Any machloikus that is the people, they think it's l'shem shamayim. They're rounding themselves around the core of it's l'shem shamayim, that will be soif l'skayim, will last forever and ever. That's what it means. Kol machloikis, that it's the people who do are believing that it's l'shem shamayim, soif l'skayim. It's going to go on and on and on because people are convinced l'shem shamayim to do anything. Says Rabbi Yeruchim Echad Chacham, you got to be wise. Tzidkis, without the wisdom, can be misplaced tzidkis. And then it becomes rishus. And then it becomes rishus. You know, Rabbi Yisai, I would like to just end with the following pshat in the Chazal. Yaakov is afraid. Vayira, vayetzer. Says Rashi. What was he afraid? Shema yehari. Shema yarag acher. Maybe he'll kill. Or maybe he'll kill others. Fregin Allah the Kasha, what do you mean? Why is he afraid of that? Habal lahargecha, hashkim lahargei. So what are you afraid of exactly? Either he'll kill me, and if I kill him, so it's great. It's wonderful. So the Velt says of Vart, they were supposed to die on the same day. Lama eshkol shnechem yoimecha, Rivka already told him they'll end up dying the same day. So this is what he's afraid of. He's afraid that if he kills Esav, he'll also get killed. It's going to have to be in the same day. Oh, Yehareg. Oh, Yarag Acherim, which is also not good, which means he's going to die anyway. So he's afraid. As Esav developed up shot, I would have said a little different part. Shema Yehareg. He's afraid that maybe he'll get killed. Shema Yarag Acherim. Who says I was 100% right for killing the other person? Shema yarag acherim shaloi kedin. What's called a roidif? Maybe I'll misread. Maybe I'll be quick to the gun to shoot the gun. You know what I'm saying? So let me go kill him anyway. He was pachad shema yaharei, and then he has the right to kill Esav. Shema he'll be taka hoyreg acherim. It wasn't right to kill him. I hold it's emes pshat, Rabbi. See, shemo yaharig, and then it would have been better off if he would have killed Esav first, or all the people who came with Esav. But maybe shemo, the other side is that he wasn't really what a roidif. It wasn't really that he was gemamish going to kill him. Mela, he was afraid that he'd be jumping the gun, so to speak, and yarig acherim. You have to be very careful, Rabbi Yisai, to measure properly the response that you take if it's taka warranted. Because if it's warranted, it's mutter. And if it's not warranted, then it becomes yarag acherim, yoyver tzicha, Rabbi Yisai, yoyver tzicha. Even when somebody officially is coming with a gun at you. Even officially when somebody is coming with a gun at you. Midas Toivis dictates how Shmiras HaMitzvahs are supposed to be. Because if you don't have those Midas Toivis, you have Maisim Royim, you'll see the Shmiras HaMitzvahs completely different. You'll find things in the Torah that tell you to go do the worst things. Yeah, but this mitzvah is telling me to go hate this guy. But if you have mice and taifim, then you understand that that's not what that mitzvah means, or that's not what that mitzvah is telling me. It's a whole different shmiras hamitzvahs. Shmiras hamitzvahs in the context of ma'isim toivim. Zok Yaakov le'lomadatini ma'isim v'royim, because everybody thinks they're right. Even Lavan. You know, it's interesting. One of Lavan's tainis is le'yosachem v'mkemenu l'asatzir l'fnei abachiris tak emes l'halacha. It's an interesting thing. It's mamash l'halacha. That's the halacha. The halacha is you don't marry the younger in the face of the older, in front of the older. And we use it lahalacha, what he was saying. So Lava was saying, "Why does unfortunate in Shulchan Aruch?" He's telling Yaakov, "You're the Talmud Chacham. You don't know that this is not lacha." And what's the answer? You liar, what you are! Because if we made up that way, it would be fine. But you cheated me and lied to me, and now that you were caught, you used the halacha. See the difference? If he would have came and said that that's not lacha in the first place, Gevaldik. That's not what he says. What does he say? He first tried to cheat his way through everything. He was trying to get, he got caught. All of a sudden he found himself and said, first halacha, I have a right from a Shulchan Aruch that I'm right. Ah? He also shmir some mitzvahs. Lavan walked around saying, ooh. You know what the pell is? At the end of the parsha, we find that Lavan runs after Yaakov Avinu. Yeah. What did he run after Yaakov? He went to kill him. He was caught. You know what he says? I ran after you to send you away with the tube of a Mechailis. I wanted to make a Sudas Preda. It says in Shulchan Aruch. Right? There's an Indian called Sudas Preda. Sudas Preda. No, isn't there? Don't let's say, every person who leaves yeshiva, don't we make a Sudat Preda for him? Who's the inventor of Sudas Preda? Lavan. Lavan is saying, if had you only told me you're leaving, I would have sent you off to Super Mamuchailis. I would have gotten a Rosh Hashiva to come speak, a guest speaker to speak about how much we'll miss you. Big tzaddik, Lavan, eh? That's when he gets caught. When he gets caught, then it becomes, I really meant it, you know, mitzvahs and tzidkis. And what was it really about? All his midas rayas. It was about all his midas rayas. You have to be careful, Rabbi Sait. The loy lamadati maisav ha rayim.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.